the word, and let's start in Psalm 132. If you want to turn there really quick, and I'm going to go ahead and just keep it where if there's a problem, my speaker's on and you guys can just yell at me and I'll hear it this time. Oh, I'm assuming everyone can hear me right now. Praise the Lord. Okay. Psalm 132. And we'll start in verse 1. Lord, remember David and all of his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my own house, nor go up into my own bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, a habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Verse 6, lo, we heard of it at Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. So praise God. We're just going to look at a few of the heartbeats that are beating within those verses. And once again, please store up all that the Spirit is pouring in and through your heart so we can fellowship together when we're finished looking at the scriptures together. But simple heart thoughts. One, I believe David is saying in this psalm that the things he went through, the afflictions that he went through, that they weren't just hard things that he had to endure in his life, because everybody has afflictions and everybody experiences trials. People who are saved and unsaved, everyone, everywhere, every person ever born is going to go through suffering and hard times and afflictions. But David is crying out concerning afflictions that he went through because of his desire to give God a house, to take care of the Lord in a very specific way. And I think there's clues in these verses that kind of show David and the way he was after God's heart, because we all know that the scriptures define David as a man who was after God's own heart. But the beauty of that is seen in the hidden or not so obvious elements in the scriptures, where he's writing the things that are in his heart or that are important to him, that stand out to him. Well, look what he says here. I will not, in verse 4, he says, I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. So, you know, David's not talking about his eyes needing rest, or his eyelids is so specific, his eyelids needing slumber. But that there's something in the eyes of Jesus, in the heart of Jesus, in the person of God that needs rest, that his eyes search for a place to finally stop roaming the earth without a habitation, looking to and fro for that heart that wants to make a home for him to dwell in. His eyelids, maybe they get tired, and don't know if any of this is right. It's just thoughts that these scriptures spark in my heart. And they may be crazy thoughts, but here we go. Maybe his eyelids get tired with constantly searching and looking and looking and looking for a place to find rest in this earth. A person, a place where he can be himself and enter in and find rest to live, to make his home, to make his bed, to make his habitation in us, to make his habitation in us. And why would we say that? Well, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, which is a New Testament scripture, Paul said this to the churches of Colossae. He said, Christ inside of you, Christ in you, is God's hope of glory. Christ in us, in you, is the hope of glory. Not Christ up in heaven and us believing in him, not Christ moving on us, not Christ doing stuff to us from a faraway distance, or not us walking beside Jesus closely, but Christ inside of you, Christ in you, is God's hope of glory. It's only going to happen. God's hopes and dreams are only going to be answered when Jesus can finally find rest in us. Christ in you is the hope, God's hope of glory. And so David's aware that God is a hope, and God is a need, and God is a desire, and that is that he could be in us, that he could find a habitation in us, a place to live, not just to get us saved and meet our needs, but a place for him to be himself, to live through us, to be our very life. I mean, Paul said it again in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me, but Christ who lives in me. I am crucified. My old life has been put away at the cross with this reason, not just because I'm a sinful person who needs to be punished or dealt with, but higher and greater than that, so that another life besides me can live through me. So Jesus Christ liveth in me, so Christ can live in me, instead of it always being me doing the living. The cross took the old life away. I am crucified, so that the new life, which is Christ, could come into me, find rest in me, make his home in me, and live through me. David knew that. And David didn't just know it in his head. He said, I'm going to go through really hard times and afflictions, and I'm going to give myself spirit, soul, and body to answer God's prayer request. I hear his heart cry. I can tell he's got hopes and dreams, and they all have to do with living inside of us. Therefore, because I'm a man after God's own heart, because God's heart moves me greater than anything in the whole wide world and anything inside of me, I'm going to give myself to answer his cries and to make his hopes and dreams come true. I'm going to go through all these afflictions so God would have a habitation. Oh, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, I'm not going to go into my house and lay down in my bed. I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find you a place to live. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give myself to make sure that I'm not just this king and we're not just these people, but that you literally are filling us up with your life and living through us. I'm going to go through whatever it takes to answer your cries, Lord. Verse 6 says, and we heard about this in Ephrathah, we found it in the fields of the wood. And oftentimes this verse really has affected me, and I've heard it shared through, oh, I think our pastor here in Texas, Pastor Randy, others. But I feel this is what David was saying in this psalm, that when he was being run out of town by Saul, who was chasing after him with spears to kill him because he was jealous that David was anointed the king, when David should have been sitting on the throne and living in the big palace, David was being hunted like a dog by Saul, and he hid in the woods of Ephrathah, and he hid in the fields, and he laid out there in the dirt, in the uncovered wilderness, because he had no place. He was not allowed to take his throne, to live in the palace where he belonged. And I believe David would lay there in those woods, cold and alone and hunted. And he'd think about God, not a man, not David, not some person, God himself, who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them and everyone in them, and is the rightful owner of everything and everyone. He does, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Jesus Christ, the one who's given himself, still crying out, why doesn't even my body allow me to live through them? Why can I not find rest even in those whom I've purchased with scars? Why do they keep living instead of letting me be their life? Where is my resting place? His eyelids search to and fro, his eyes longing for that bride, that habitation, that place where he can rest and truly live through. And so David's heart is moved. David's life is set. His purpose is strong with love for Jesus and care for his needs. So he's going to go through whatever it takes to make that dream come true and make sure that it's no longer I, but Christ who's living in me. And we hear that same kind of heart and that mind in 2 Corinthians. And now we're going to jump to the New Testament. We've been there in Colossians, but let's go there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at some really common scriptures that a lot of us probably have held on to through times of affliction and trial. And let's just look at them with these eyes, with this heart, like David had. Not for what we go through and what that is for us, but what we can go through for him. How it can all be gathered up into him finding a habitation in us. So let's read them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 15. Well, let's begin verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is just for a little moment, is working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Where did we just see the word glory? In Colossians. Working for us a far more exceeding weight of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's continue in the next verse, chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So we see here that we are being clothed upon with Christ. He is our habitation. We live and move and have our being in him. But the scriptures we've been looking at define that we are his house down here, that he wants to live and move and have his being in us. And the things that we are working for us eternal weight of glory, something that's bigger than just getting through the trial, greater than even praying through it and having a positive attitude and holding on to our favorite scripture and not letting go through the pain and all that's great. Those are really great first steps. But how much deeper can our passion and our faith and our love and our commitment to Jesus go past that first and most precious step into the very finding of his heart? And if you will, grabbing hold of his heart and not letting go and saying, Jesus, I'm not letting go of your heart. I'm not letting go of your need to have a home inside of me until I make your dreams come true. And I'm going to use these afflictions that I'm going through to help it be more about your life in me and less about my pain and my discomfort. Lord, make this be about your prayers being answered and not my needs being met. Because Lord, my biggest need is for Jesus to live through me. My greatest cry is not I, but Christ be formed in me. Lord, more of Jesus, less of me. Father, this is a light affliction when I consider the eternal weight of glory that Christ, the hope of glory, could be in me. Father, redeem what I'm going through. for your glory. And your glory, Paul said, is Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. All of a sudden, we're on different ground. Before, we were on the earth, looking up to heaven, crying out to God, caught up in all the craziness down here. Please, Lord, help me. But now our hearts got wings, the wings of love that carry us from us in the earth to God's heart. And we find ourselves lifted up. We walk through the door of faith opened in the heavens. We walk straight into the heart of Jesus and we say, now I'm on God ground. I'm not even on good ground. I'm on God ground. I'm in your heart, Lord. I'm looking in your face. I'm feeling your needs. I'm sensing your desires. I'm hearing your prayer requests. And I am saying, use the things I'm going through, these light afflictions, to answer your prayers, to fulfill your need. I would love for you, Jesus, to find rest in me in the middle of this situation. I will love for you to enter in and the ark of your strength to come into my heart and the Lamb of God to be not just the one who helps me through, but literally pours out his life for others. Change my view of what I'm going through. Give me Lamb's eyes. Help me to see everything I go through with brand new eyes. Eyes that see things from the point of view of Jesus inside of me, wanting to use all these hardships to show forth the love of God, to express forgiveness, to go an extra mile by love. Lord, I see it as a punishment. I see it as a problem. I see it as a thing I need to pray away out of my life. But when I get brand new eyes, when I get your eyes, Jesus, now I realize, oh my goodness, this is my opportunity to show all those crazy people Jesus lives and he lives through me. But not just that he lives, but he forgives and he takes the lower seat. He esteems their needs better. He goes the extra mile and he doesn't say it. He does it with a really sweet spirit. He doesn't draw attention back. He doesn't require payment. He doesn't take the glory. He just loves and gives them. Oh, Lord, now is my opportunity to show people the real Jesus, because I couldn't show them the real Jesus if everything was okay. They couldn't see how great his forgiveness is if they hadn't offended me. They couldn't see him go an extra mile if they hadn't required something unjustly of me. Lord, it's a light affliction in light of giving you habitation in me. Oh, I want it, Lord. I want it for your sake. Take me to higher ground. Let my heart grow wings. Let my faith leave the earth and be inside of your heart. Let your hope be my hope. Let Christ in me be the answer to this situation. And so finally, we see another testimony of this heart in Micah. Let's turn back to the Old Testament. We're in the prophets. We're in the minor prophets. It's really close to the end of the Old Testament, Micah. He's before Nahum and after Jonah, Micah. And we're going to go to Micah chapter 4. And we're going to go to verse 5. So Micah chapter 4 and verse 5. Okay. Let's read. Now, why do you cry out aloud? Is there no king in you? Is your counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee like a woman in travail to bring forth a child. Verse 10. So be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in childbirth. For now you'll go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. Thou shalt go even to Babylon, and there in Babylon you will be delivered of that child. And there in Babylon the Lord is going to redeem you from the hands of your enemies through childbirth. Glory to God. The scriptures speak about Christ being formed in us. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, we say Paul, we hear Paul praying this, I travail in birth again. I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you. Paul's speaking of the travail of a Christ being formed inside of someone, like a baby being formed in the womb of a mother, that Jesus in the Galatian churches needed to grow inside of the people. He needed to form his life, needed to grow more of Jesus, less of us. So big he wanted Jesus to grow that the people could bring him forth. They could labor and travail and let Jesus come out of them like a woman bringing forth a son, a picture of Christ coming out of every born-again believer. But to let Jesus come out of us, to allow him to live through us, his house, requires travail. There's a travail that comes with the bringing forth of Jesus. And so many times we just want it to be so easy that it just doesn't cost us. You know, it's not that we're earning anything and not that it's the works of our flesh. It's really Jesus, the spirit and life of Jesus coming forth. But we have to, you know, we have to let him. We have to yield. We have to say yes in the middle of those times of travail and crisis. So, hey, the scriptures say, why are you just crying out loud as if you're without hope in this world and everything's out of control and what am I going to do? And don't just cry out loud. Is there no king in you? Isn't, and I believe the question really is, isn't Jesus in you? Don't you have Jesus in you? Are you born again? Isn't Christ the king inside of you in the womb of your spirit? And now Micah's saying, listen, you're not just crying out because of a hard time, but you are in pangs like a woman who's bringing forth a child is in travail. You're in childbirth. This isn't just about going through a painful thing that makes you cry. This is about bringing forth the son. These are the pangs of childbirth if you allow them to be, because really what God's doing is trying to bring forth Jesus out of you. Out of you. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? That God has so much higher things for us than just getting through our trials. He's like, this is about you bringing forth my son that's in you, and I want him to come out of you. What a thing. This is childbirth. This isn't troubles. This is childbirth. This is bringing forth Jesus. So verse 10 in Micah chapter 4 says, well, be in pain, but labor to bring forth. It's okay to be in pain, but don't just be in pain. Labor to bring forth Jesus. Oh, daughter of Zion, you're a woman in childbirth. So go forth. And it says to Babylon, Babylon being that place that isn't the church building. Babylon is the place where maybe it's our job, or maybe it's the place where there's no other Christians. Maybe Babylon is the place where we feel like we're all alone and there are just no opportunities to have fellowship. And it's just a dark place where there's not a lot of Jesus, not a lot of light. That Babylon place where we feel cast out and by ourselves. But the scriptures tell us, go to Babylon and there bring forth Jesus. There you'll be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hands of your enemy. I want to be redeemed in my church service, during the worship service, when the Spirit's moving and I'm shouting hallelujah. That's when I want to labor to bring forth Jesus, and that's when I want to be delivered from my enemies. And the scriptures say, go out to Babylon, to that place that isn't the church building or in the middle of all the warm and cuddly feelings of the presence of the Lord. Go to that place and be delivered. Bring forth Jesus. Travail in childbirth. And let the Spirit of Christ come out of you. And be redeemed from the hands of your enemies. How am I redeemed from the hands of my enemies? By letting Jesus come out of me. Because your enemies are trying to make you like them. Say an angry word. Justify yourself. Release a spirit of self-righteousness. Declare your rights. Don't forgive. Be like the people that are in darkness. Jesus says, no, you go out there into that darkness and you shine. Hold forth the word of truth. Shine, shine. Let the light of Jesus just shine out of you. But how? Bringing him forth in our attitudes, in our responses, letting Jesus come out of us, flow out of us in the way we respond. And we've been delivered from the hands of our enemies. They're not going to have control over us when we forgive them. They're not going to have control over us when we love them, even when they're hating us. They're not going to have control over us when we go the extra mile when they require it of us. We're under the control of the King of Kings. We're redeemed from them. We're redeemed not because we're removed from the situation, but because Christ in us, the hope of glory, has come forth through childbirth, because we allowed him. We were in pain. We travailed. We brought him forth. He came out and shined the light of the beautiful nature of God. The darkness saw it. Instead of it controlling us, we released life there. And people experienced the love of God. Light afflictions compared to the eternal weight of glory being formed in us and coming out from us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, we say yes. We say yes. You put Jesus in us with a reason. You put Jesus in us so we could be his home, so we could be his body, so we could be the place that he lives and moves and have his being. Lord, you allow us to be in dark times and go through heavy trials and be in situations that are unjust and, yes, even painful for this one purpose, so Jesus can come forth, so we can bring forth Christ, so we can show forth his glory, so we can allow people to experience him and know him too. So, Lord, help us to have brand new eyes. Help us to have your eyes, eyes that see the possibilities of letting Jesus live through us. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us to change from our mind and view to yours. Open that door of faith. Let our heart grow wings. Let us fly up to your heart and answer your sweet, eternal longings. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We thank you, Lord. We give you our hearts. We give you our cries. We give you our situations. And we pray this not just in Jesus' name, but for his sake. Amen. Amen.